Brothers and sisters, what do the moon, rainbows, aurora-like light, dragonflies, and specific images of clouds mean to you? These are Father God's gifts that provide us with strength and comfort in this time of blessing. These days, more than any other time, you are quick to find those gifts around you and share joy with one another. Recently, I've had time to look back and recall what kind of gifts of love I received from Father God. Then, all of a sudden, I remembered this particular episode. It was around August 2015. Due to many situations, I lacked confidence. I even thought, could a person like me be of any help to Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd? At the time, my turn for Sunday evening service was coming up. With that state of mind, I doubted if I could even deliver a sermon properly. Even so, because that was what I could do for the Shepherd, because I believe I could advance to the next level by overcoming it. I didn't want to avoid my duties, so I prayed all the more earnestly before Father God to ask for His help. But strength wasn't given to me right away. Finally, the day of my turn arrived, but as I walked up to the altar, the red carpet on the altar came right into my sight. That red carpet looked like the Lord's blood for me, and the shepherd's tears of sacrifice, which were shed for my spiritual change. With that feeling, I knelt down and prayed and sat on the preacher's seat. There was another thing that caught my eye. It was a green cushion placed right behind the pulpit. Seeing that cushion, I thought our shepherd stood right on that spot and incessantly proclaimed his messages of love to change each one of us. Because of the shepherd, I can do it. This thought boosted my confidence. So I set my feet on that cushion and began to preach. Later, a pastor who was patrolling the sanctuary delivered happy news to me. He said that a rainbow appeared at the beginning of that service, and the rainbow's colors got even clearer as the sermon began. He showed me the rainbow, the picture of that rainbow. That was the rainbow that appeared on that day. To me, that rainbow felt like Father's smile. It was like he was saying, be strengthened. Seeing that rainbow, I was given assurance that I could overcome any kind of trouble because I have Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd. That's true. Through various wonders, signs, and gifts of love, Father God is demonstrating that He is with my men and cheering for us. And He's encouraging us. Among many gifts of love, there is one that is so precious to us. Do you know what that is? It's the Shepherd's words of life. Many church members testify that when they turned on GCN, the Shepherd's sermon was exactly the solution to their problems. Like this, from the words of life, we can obtain solutions to our problems. His words serve as the key to resolving the problems facing our lives. So today, I'd like to share the Shepherd's previous message, which will serve as the key to answers in this time of blessing we are going through. Today's message is based on the sermon preached at this year's Pastors and Church Workers Devotional Service entitled, The Heart of the Shepherd. more than any other time, to carry out our God-given duties with the heart of a shepherd is the shortcut to receiving answers in the spiritual flow. So, why do we toil and devote ourselves for the kingdom of God? As today's passage, Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 says, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We received the Lord from the Lord, who shed all His blood on the cross. We know the love of God. Now, Father God desires not just a few workers, but all of us to achieve a heart of the shepherd. Through today's message, I urge you to examine how much you've tried to achieve the heart of the shepherd. May this message help you have the heart of the shepherd that our Father God dearly wants us to achieve. Brothers and sisters, to achieve the heart of the shepherd, first, we should be able to offer our life for the kingdom of God. Even though the Apostle Paul manifested great power and preached the gospel, he suffered hardship as great as the power he performed. In a city called Lystra, he made a lame man begin to walk by praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Seeing this, people considered him to be God and even wanted to offer sacrifice. But Paul stopped them from doing it, proclaimed that his power came from Jesus Christ, and preached the gospel to them. But what came next was a life-threatening persecution. In Acts chapter 14, verse 19, we read, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Even after performing such great power, he didn't get compliments, but faced people's jealousy and hatred. They tried to capture him and stone him to death, although there was no ground for them to do so. Yet, God strengthened him to get up and walk immediately." The following verses say, "But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day, he went away with Barnabas and Derbe after they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples." We find that the day after he harshly suffered, he set out for the next destination and preached the gospel. What a great apostle he was! Just a few days back, he manifested great power, but people wanted to stone him to death, not remembering what he did. Even though he avoided death, his entire body must have been bruised and stained with blood. Paul had no idea what the Jewish people would do to him if they found out he revived. What thoughts would go through your mind if you were in Paul's position? Would you think like, "I've preached the gospel with all my strength, but why didn't God protect me but made me suffer like this? I'm tired of this life. I feel so frustrated and upset." Or you might also think, "Shouldn't I need rest until I recover from the wounds?" The Jewish people will chase after me. Wouldn't it be better for me to hide myself for a while? Such thoughts might go through your mind and weaken your passion for the gospel. But in Paul's mind, there was no room for such thoughts. Just like we would do, he felt pain when he got beaten with rods, and he felt tired when he doesn't rest enough. He also felt the cold, the heat, and hunger. Yet, because he overflew with the love of the Lord and who carried the cross for him who was the worst of sinners, he was able to overcome all this. Our shepherd also lived such a life. As he conducted overseas crusades back in 2000s, he often visited countries where preaching of the gospel is prohibited. He could have faced imprisonment for preaching the gospel, particularly in Dubai, Pakistan, and India. Even though he was in a tough and challenging situation physically, he never got frightened but stayed bold. Senior pastor He once described how he felt at the time, saying, it won't happen, but even if I die, it's a blessing because I die in the Lord. Because Father God was with him, he had faith that no one could do him harm, so he could stay bold. As he marched on in such boldness, wherever he went for a crusade, God worked with a marvelous reversal. One of the good examples is India United Crusade, which lasted from October 10th through 13th in 2002. Physically, the situations were not good for the crusade. On October 5th, the governor of Tamil Nadu state of India issued an anti-conversion act which took effect from day one of the crusade. The anti-conversion law ordered that anyone who converts to another religion report to the original official and that no individual be allowed to convert right away or make another person convert. The enemy devil was afraid that numerous people would accept Jesus Christ and convert during the crusade, so they plotted such a scheme to prevent it from happening. In such a situation, some people recommended the shepherd to deliver only messages of peace and blessing. But the shepherd never wavered in his resolve to proclaim God the Creator and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Even though he would be arrested and in trouble as a result, he couldn't give up proclaiming God the Creator and Jesus Christ. Even though we were notified that the police would come to see whether the shepherd said something against the anti-conversion law, he didn't waver even a little, but boldly proclaimed about God the Creator. He affirmed that he would show them whether God is true God, whether he is almighty, and demonstrate how God would work for them. He also assured them that the manifestations of God's work would be greater and greater day after day. Do you know what happened? The shepherd's march of faith resulted in such a great revival, reversal. As he proclaimed, amazing healing works happened from day one, and we heard good news the following day. The lawsuit against the organizing committee and Pastor Joseph Han, our missionary in India, was dismissed by the court. Also, we heard that a newspaper carried a statement issued by the local pastors who opposed the anti-conversion laws. This gave confidence to other pastors in India who had been discouraged. On day two, ensuring the shepherd's words, more healing works happened. And on day three, we saw God's amazing works all the more. There came a downpour in the middle of the crusade in Father God's providence. A senior pastor kept on preaching without wavering even a little bit and wholeheartedly prayed for the sick. As a great number of people were healed by this, the Indian people were moved. Finally, on day four, which is the last day, the number of attendees doubled. That single day, an estimated 1.5 or 2 million people gathered. Healing works also happened on a tremendous scale. The crusade was attended by a total of 3 million people, and at least 60% of them were Hindu. It is remembered as such a blessed crusade that healed and converted many people. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, if you march in faith with the resolve to offer even your life for the kingdom of God, Father God will turn things into blessing in the end. But to offer one's life doesn't always mean to die physically. It is to bear any kind of sacrifice and trouble willingly, as well as not to fear death. If a person could do so, he could devote his time, money, health, family, or anything to the Lord. If a person could devote his life to the Lord, he wouldn't cherish his family or friends more than the Lord or seek selfish desires. He wouldn't insist on his pride, self-righteousness, or frameworks. Just as the Apostle Paul confessed, "I die daily," he would be ready to offer his life and put himself to death every moment of his life as he works for the kingdom of God. Let me repeat. He would be ready to offer his life and put himself to death every moment of his life as he works for the kingdom of God. This is what God expects from us, his workers. Of course, we won't have such an occasion where we would be stoned or beheaded like Paul was, but spiritually, our life of faith is a life of martyrdom. We have to oppose the enemy devil, practice the truth, and risk our lives in the spiritual battle to save souls. If you can indeed offer your life, you wouldn't find your duties difficult or tiring. You wouldn't have complaints when your environment or working conditions are poorer than those of others. You don't get hurt or have ill feelings even when you are not treated well. Once God entrusted him with a duty, senior pastor never considered it difficult, arduous, or not to his liking. Whatever God commanded, he made sure to obey and try to do more than he was commanded, by all means. Even when he was a deacon or even a novice believer, he tried his best to obey whatever is God's will. After he learned that we should seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, he offered a countless prayer and fasting. After he learned that we should share the gospel, he devoted himself to sharing the gospel. Even while offering all of himself, he didn't even think he was sacrificing or devoting himself. Out of thanksgiving and love, he wanted to offer what he had again and again. He's been guiding Mamin like this for the last 36 years. Even after coming back from an overseas crusade, he didn't have a good rest. Actually, conducting an overseas crusade is an exhausting task. Even so, senior pastor didn't have a 1 week or 2 week rest. He wanted to dedicate even his... So for so many years, he gave up having his own time on Saturdays. Yet, he didn't think of such devotion as praiseworthy. Instead, he considered that as his natural duty. I hope that all of us will overflow with passion to pay back the Father's love so that we will boldly confess before the Father, "Beloved Father, I've offered my life and all of myself with love for the Father." Brothers and sisters, to achieve the heart of the shepherd, second, we should cherish the souls. Those who cherish the souls are committed to preaching the gospel and home visits. In addition to that, they deal with everyone with love. They don't ignore even little ones. Even when they have greater faith than someone, even when they are in a higher position than him, they don't act rudely. In everything, they seek others' benefits first. A good example is found in Genesis chapter 13. Abraham's and Lot's livestock multiplied to the point where they couldn't live together. The herdsmen of Abraham contended with those of Lot. Even though Abraham had the right to choose first according to the physical and spiritual order, he yielded his right to his nephew, Lot. He said in Genesis chapter 13, verse 9, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the left, right, then I will go to the left." Then Lot looked around and chose the land that looked better to his eyes. You know, Lot received a lot of blessings on account of Abraham. Even though Abraham made that suggestion, it was right for Lot to turn it down from both. But Lot didn't do so. This indicates that Lot wasn't thankful for, he wasn't even aware of the blessings that he'd received on Abraham's account. Even though Lot didn't realize that he was blessed because of his uncle, Abraham didn't harbor even a bit of resentment or hard feelings. He was just happy that his dear nephew chose the better land. Because Abraham cherished and loved Lot from his heart, he wanted to seek his benefit first. He was willing to give him even more. Having such a heart, he was able to become the father of faith, the father of all nations later on. Only when you have such a spiritual love can you embrace many souls. If a vessel is small, even if we pour a lot of water, it will soon overflow. In addition to earnestly sharing the gospel and paying home visits, we should embrace the souls with love so that we can save them without losing even one of them. The heart of cherishing the souls isn't necessary to only church workers taking care of the souls. It's necessary to all of us. The shepherd urged the Levite workers and the staff of each department to examine how much they cherish the souls with how much love they serve them. You may find some people not quite cooperative with you. With the self-seeking heart and deficiencies of the body, they end up breaking their promises or make excessive demands. But senior pastor asks that we cherish even those people thinking, what would our Lord do? How would our shepherd deal with them? It is also important that we keep such an attitude without changing. How would our Lord and the shepherd deal with the souls? They would definitely cherish the souls more than themselves. Even though they have to sacrifice themselves, if only they could save them, they would willingly make sacrifice. For the last 36 years, especially since 2010, we could see such aspects of the shepherd's heart. We've seen many of, but let me share one of them today. Let me talk about the mini crusade with the students back in 2011. At the time, students hadn't yet severed ties with the world. So in order to change them, in order to help them, even though senior pastor had such a tight schedule on Sunday, from early morning to evening, even though he followed such a tight schedule, he took his time to have a mini crusade for the students. And through that crusade, many students at the time experienced change. But sadly, I was wandering out in the world, so I didn't have get a chance to attend that crusade. But later, as I watched the Mami magazine, I was very moved. Especially, at one mini crusade, before he conducted a mini crusade, he already had shed a lot of blood. So people around him even though he was in such a physical condition, he didn't want to stop. And after he stopped bleeding, he went up to the second sanctuary, and then he began to bleed again. And so people around him took him to a place where they helped him stop bleeding, and people around him recommended him to wrap up his schedule. Even so, senior pastor, no. I still have a message to deliver to them. After he blocked his nose bleeding, he came out and continued to speak. As we've all watched through Mami magazine, he urged the students to go to New Jerusalem. That's what he said. Senior pastor didn't because he considered the souls so precious, he could deliver such a message. When he conducted a mini crusade, he also gave away gift certificates. There were some needy students who couldn't afford to buy supplies or necessities. Senior pastor so gave away the gift certificates to students so that they can get a school uniform or books or delicious food. So even after the mini crusade was over, the giving away of gift certificate continued. So as for me personally, I never received attended the mini crusade. But I was given a gift certificate because senior pastor wanted to conduct a mini crusade, but he couldn't. So instead, he gave away the gift certificate. Actually, mini crusade was not an official event. He did it extra for the students. He had no reason to feel apologetic for that. But senior pastor had such a heart. He wanted to give more and more, even though he had to sacrifice himself. Rather than thinking of his position, he thought of the soul's positions first. That was not the end. He provided financial aid to over 1,000 families, needy families. And from the year 2015, he began to support the students financially, especially for the students who had financial difficulties and couldn't afford to buy school uniforms or books. So since 2015, he has provided great financial support to the students until now. And there was a student who wanted to get a private tutoring. And his guidance pastor talked about that student with me. But I thought even for that student, the financial support was given. Hearing this, I shed many tears. No matter the situation, he always considered the souls first. He's always concerned about the souls. With such a heart, he has been caring for us. That's how we could become what we are now. Just as we are reminded in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I ask you to consider all people better than yourself and cherish even a single soul more than anything. Hopefully, you will serve the souls with the heart of the Lord and the shepherd, thereby bringing forth many fruits. Brothers and sisters, to achieve the heart of the shepherd, third, we should faithfully fulfill our duties in silence. In Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10, we find the parable of an unworthy servant. Even when a servant comes back from working all day long, he is not complimented by his master. He has to go on to wait on his master until he finishes his meal. Only then can he eat for himself. In verse 10, Jesus told his disciples, "So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only what which we ought to have done.' We don't carry out our God-given duties for wages. Knowing that we've received tremendous grace from Father God, we devote ourselves out of gratitude and love. If we are steadfast in our heart, we don't seek compliments or recognition for our work. Neither do we want to be set up as a leader or expect special treatment." What about us? Did you ever think like, "I did a better job than him. I worked more than he did. But why does he get all the credit while I'm not complimented at all? This is so unfair." Also, did you ever feel discouraged with such thoughts as, "He's always entrusted with a duty seen by others and gets all the work, all the recognition and compliments. Even though I take on hard and strenuous tasks, no one appreciates my work or wants to help me." Let's say you made hard efforts and worked faithfully, but you are reproached, let alone complimented. How would you feel? Regarding this, there's a biblical figure who set a good example. She is Mary Magdalene. When she met Jesus first time, she was healed of all her health issues. Feeling Jesus' earnest love for her, she set all her mind on him. Jesus was the only one in the world who didn't forsake her, the only one who loved her, and the only one who didn't reject such a miserable woman as her, but held out his hand, healed her, and renewed her soul. So she resolved to serve him all her life. So she resolutely gave up all her fleshly things and offered all of her time for Jesus. Every moment of Jesus' life was the life of Mary Magdalene herself. But there were times Jesus didn't treat her kindly because Jesus knew her exceeding love for him. He sometimes had to deal with her cold-heartedly, thinking of her life after his resurrection. Even when Jesus didn't give her a look, she didn't misunderstand it. Rather, she figured out why Jesus had to do so. Even though Jesus didn't seem to appreciate her offering all of herself, she was just thankful for the fact that she could serve him. Moreover, when Jesus complimented another person, she rejoiced as if she herself received the compliment. When someone gave joy and strength to Jesus, she felt grateful to that person. She wasn't discouraged with such thoughts as, "Why can't I bring him strength? Why can't I make him joyful? Why doesn't he command me?" But instead, she always stays joyful and thankful and faithfully fulfilling her duties by Jesus' side. The reason she could do so was that she had spiritual love by which she loved Jesus more than herself. If she hadn't wanted to serve Jesus because no one seemed to appreciate her great work, her service wouldn't have been out of true love. With true love, we would sacrifice all we have, regardless of whether someone recognizes our sacrifice or not. To someone whom we really love, we only want to give more. If we love someone and give everything we have, but expect them to give us anything in return, that is not spiritual love. While you work faithfully for God, if you expect others to recognize you more or hope to get something in return, no matter how much you sow, toil, and work hard, you can't emanate the good aroma pleasing to Father God. The good aroma pleasing to God could be emanated by only those who are happy just for the fact that they can work for him, even though no one recognizes them. Mary Magdalene, who had such a heart, didn't change in any kind of situation. Even though she could be hurt or suffer disadvantage for being with Jesus, she followed Jesus up to Golgotha where he hung on the cross. Even though the disciples fled and hid themselves, she stayed by Jesus' side to the very end. Even after Jesus breathed his last, on the early morning after the Sabbath, she headed to his tomb to apply perfume on his body and met the resurrected Lord in person. Because Mary Magdalene remained unchanged in her love for the Lord, she could have such great glory. She had such glory of meeting the resurrected Lord. First, it is God who rewards us for our work. Only if our Lord remembers our work, we should be happy. We have no reason to feel discouraged because we don't get recognized or complimented by men. If we love the Father, if we love the souls whom He cherishes with the shepherd's heart, we won't find our duties difficult or demanding, but successfully carry them out. As we carry out our duties in silence and move up to the next spiritual level, we will get grace and strength from above and turn into more powerful works. Regarding this, I have a touching testimony. She is a ninth grader. On July 9th, on her way to church, she had an accident. Her left foot was run over by a car, which violated a traffic light. Because she had faith, right after the accident happened, she turned on GCN to receive the senior pastor's prayer. Even while she was on her way to hospital in her ambulance, she received the senior pastor's prayer. And when she arrived at the hospital, the pain had already disappeared quite a lot. And she took an x-ray. So the doctor told her to come back the following day for a cross examination. So she wore a cast. She could have been hospitalized, but because she told the doctor that she didn't have much pain, the doctor allowed her to go home. Right after she left the hospital, she came straight to the church to attend Daniel prayer meeting and even attended the extra prayer meeting with Pastor Hee-sun Lee. And the following morning, she visited the hospital and the doctor told her that her tendon was ruptured and said that she was very lucky. And because her ankle had been swollen a lot, she after receiving that diagnosis, she began to attend the Divine Healing Meeting at Mommy Prayer Center, where she thoroughly repented of her past. And, you know, Pastor Hyunter Ju prayed for people with a handkerchief. And actually, she had an accident the previous day. Her left foot was run over by a car, but she began to walk by herself just in a day. We give thanks to the Father God. And day after day, as she continued praying and repenting, her injured foot became perfect. And when she visited the hospital again, the doctor told her that she didn't need surgery. But the doctor told her that she still needed some medical treatment. This student refused to get medical treatment. And the next day, she attended the student's Saturday praise service. She is one of the members of the chorus for Saturday students' praise service. That day was very hot. Even though her foot was not perfectly healed, she came. You know what happened? Do you think she refused to sing on the altar? No, she faithfully fulfilled her duty as a singer. So I was so moved and took a picture of her. Look at her foot. As I saw her singing on the altar, I was very inspired. So I myself even looked back on myself. I thought, and I resolved to perform my duties, carry out my duties with all my life. This is our duty as the fruit of the shepherd. That's what I thought, concluded. If we sacrifice and devote ourselves with gratitude and even offer our lives, the Father doesn't just accept them and do nothing. Most of all, He's given us salvation and heaven. But even while we live on earth, He makes all things prosper in our lives as our souls prosper. And whatever we do anything in faith, He pays us back 30, 60, and 100 times. Although this path we are taking for the Lord may seem narrow and rough, it is the most blessed and glorious path. I hope that all of you will carry out your God-given duties well on this earth and enjoy the glory of New Jerusalem in heaven. Let me conclude the message. Today, we've shared what we should do in order to achieve the heart of the shepherd in this time of blessing. To achieve the heart of the shepherd, which is the key to answers, first, we should offer our life for the kingdom of God. Second, we should cherish the souls. Third, we should carry out God-given duties in silence. Brothers and sisters, there is a famous phrase that goes, no cross, no crown, which means we won't have glory unless we suffer hardships and trials. We can confirm this from the lives of our fathers of faith and the incidents from the Bible. But there is an important thing to keep in mind in our overcoming hardships for glory. It is to have unwavering faith that all our hardships will end up in glory and blessings. Holding on to that faith, we have to endure trials and hardships with joy and thanksgiving. To apply this to us, Mami members, who are going through the time of blessing, if we have unwavering faith that God will work with a great reversal and turn all things into blessing and overcome our hardships with joy and thanksgiving, Father God will surely turn this situation into blessing. Brothers and sisters, are you carrying your cross with a joyful heart, hoping for the glory the Father will give you? Do you know that you are not the only one carrying the cross, don't you? There is one who is carrying the cross with us at the forefront. He's our shepherd, whom we miss so much. Just as he's been doing so far for the last 36 years, and even today, I believe the shepherd is earnestly praying for us so that we can overcome this situation well. Because of our shepherd, we become what we are now and will enjoy glory in the future. Do you long for it? Do you hope for that glorious moment? I also running day after day with that hope. In order to not to forget that hope, I made some kind of effort. Can you show me the picture? This is my room. I actually went back in 2013 when senior pastor anointed the man of spirit and Holy Spirit. When I also received his prayer in that suit. So senior pastor told us to wear that suit on special day. So I thought that when we meet the shepherd again, it will be the special day. So I hung that suit in my room. So seeing that suit, I think of the I make up my mind again and again seeing the suit. I also think about the day of hope, the day of glory. On that day, we will have many joyful moments. We will also have a time to sing some praises. As I prayed, I thought, what kind of praise songs will be sung on that day? One of the songs will be, I thought, the I Love You, Mamin, the Ship of Mamin. It felt like that praise song was given to us for that moment. I Love You, the Ship of Mamin. Let's go. Let's go to New Jerusalem. I will go. We will go. We will not forget your tears and your love and your sacrifice. We will not forget. When we happily meet our shepherd again, we will make that confession through the praise song. We will boldly confess that we've changed. We are all the fruit of the shepherd. We will boldly confess that on that day. Do you also have such hope? To do so, imagining that day, thinking of that day, let us all sing together, I Love You, the Flock of Mamin. As we sing this song together, I want you to imagine that day. Imagine that day when we will confess that we've been changed, we have changed before the shepherd. It will be much better if senior pastor sung that song for us, but before we begin, let me share with you the shepherd's heart carried in this song. Let me read. Only thinking of the Father's glory and earnestly hoping that they will enter New Jerusalem, the perfect place, I try to keep them from the world without looking after myself. I express my earnest and sincere heart. I've never said, I can't bear it anymore, because the Father and the souls are the most precious to me. Thinking of the Father who healed me with love and my sheep who follow me and serve me as their shepherd, I hold back my tears and express my sincerest heart. This is the aroma of the shepherd carried in the song. I love you so. Together, let's go to New Jerusalem. I want all of us to be with Him in the place where the Father is. He will welcome us with His open arms. I love you even more. I love you so. I love you so. My sheep of my men. I love you so. Let's go to New Jerusalem. With the love you have for the Father, I want all of you to make the change, to cherish the precious souls. I love you even more. I will go. Yes, I will go. My beloved shepherd, I will never forget your tears that will make the change in me. We offer up our hearts to thee. We offer up our praises. We'll never forget your love that will make the change in us. I will go. Yes, I will go. My beloved shepherd, I'll never forget your sacrifice that will make the change in me. With the love we have for the Father, we want to make the change in us. To serve you with the heartfelt thanks and love you even more. Let's together go. Let's together go to New Jerusalem. We're the fruit of the shepherd, his love and sacrifice. We love the Father, the Lord, and the shepherd even more. Those of us who made the changes offer you our love and praise. We've been changed. Yes, we've been changed. We finally made a change. We are the fruit of the shepherd, his love and sacrifice. By the Father's love and power, we finally made a change. We are the fruit of the shepherd, his love and sacrifice. Strengthened by his love and support, carried in this song, I hope that you will achieve more perfectly the heart of the shepherd, which is the key to answers. Thus, I sincerely hope that when blessings come, we will all shed tears of joy and thanksgiving with our shepherd.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts, and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.